So Psalm 23, reading in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of the verses of the psalm to all of our hearts this evening. The psalm, we know it as the Shepherd's Psalm. It's also been called the Pearl of Psalms, referring to its purity and to its beauty. And as many would commentate, that it is beyond price. It's also referred to as the Nightingale of Psalms, because some people say that it fills the night with a song when all other songs are hushed. And there's a great deal of truth in that as well. And certainly, we look here in verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And he's your shepherd tonight. He loves us. He is compassionate toward us. And he's patient with us. And we're thankful for all that this evening. We're this evening going to look for a moment or two here at verse 4, where it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And maybe we could just have another wee word of prayer as we turn to this passage, please. Father in heaven, we do thank thee tonight. Again, Lord, we're grateful for all of thy word. And we thank you, Lord, for giving it to us. And Lord, we do love the Psalms, and we thank you for the 23rd Psalm. And Lord, we recognize that God knew all about our makeup when this psalm was penned. And Father, we're grateful for the great benefit that we can have it even in the best of times and also in the worst of times. And Lord, we ask as we look at it now for a while tonight that the Lord might speak to our hearts, that the message might come with freshness, that it might be relevant. Lord, the message might be relevant for everyone right now. And Lord, that God himself might build us up in our faith this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you've heard me saying before here from the pulpit that I haven't been to the Holy Land, neither has my wife, so we don't really know firsthand a lot about what it's like to actually be there. But I am told that between the Jerusalem and the Red Sea, and I know that there is that place where the Kidron Valley, as it is called, it becomes a little bit narrower. I don't know an awful lot more about it than that, but I just go by what I've read by other Bible commentators who have been there. And apparently, where the Kidron Valley narrows, there's a part there where when the valley at its height is 2,700 feet above sea level, and when you get to the bottom of the valley, it's down in dead sea level, it's 400 feet below sea level. And apparently, part of that valley is called the Valley of the Shadow. And it is a place that was renowned for its being handy for robbers. There were caves there to hide in. It was known to have many snakes and other wild predatory animals that would have hid along the on the way down the valley there. And therefore, it was a very dangerous place for sheep. Place that was narrow, apparently. There's a good bit of it, and it's not more wide than 12 feet across, which makes it very narrow. But it's apparently also a place that it was necessary to pass through if you wanted to get from what was called the pastures of David to the pastures of Abraham. Very, very interesting. I'm sure there are so many other things that could be said about the Valley of the Shadow of Death. I want to add to what I said earlier, where it says here in verse 4, "For thou art with me." Those words mean a lot to you. And they will mean a lot to me and to you in the days ahead. It's important for Christians. And again, I've often said, if I could get all the believers that I know to come when we're looking at a passage like this, I do believe it would be of benefit to them. But maybe there'll be many who listen when it goes on to sermon audio. It says, "For thou art with me." God is with you, Christian, when you feel it. And those days when you go out with a spring in your step and you really do want to talk to someone about the Lord and you're thinking about what he's done for you and there's that desire to witness to someone for the Lord. And you feel that the Lord is with you. He is with you. But he's also with you when you feel that he's not. In the days when it's hard and you are frustrated and maybe you're very stressed and you don't feel the Lord. We're limited, as we all know. And we don't feel the Lord's presence with us. His presence is with us just the same. "Thou art with me." He's also with us when we don't deserve him to be with us. And there's quite a number of people I'd like to go to tonight and say, "Listen, we know all about this, and so do you. And but I want you to know that the Lord is still with you, and he loves you still. And he cares for you. I know you feel you don't deserve it. Things have happened, maybe bad things. But the Lord loves you. He loves you tonight. Christian, he's with you when you feel alone as well." So those words, "Thou art with me," mean a whole lot to every Christian. But we're getting to the text, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Title tonight, if I was to have one, would be "The Shepherd's Rod and Staff." The Old Testament shepherd was renowned, and this ties in with what I mentioned earlier on about compassion, the Lord being the shepherd. The Old Testament shepherd was well known in the East for their great care for the animals, the sheep that they looked after. They went out of their way to help them. They often put themselves in harm's way for the sake of the animals. And while the animals, the sheep, were there to make them a living, they cared for them at the same time. And the Lord, as he looks upon us, of course, he give his best for us. And he does tonight, and remember this, he does continue to love us always. So we're looking here tonight at the shepherd's rod and staff. We look first of all then at the rod. Whenever a young fella was just becoming a shepherd, I'm not sure what age that was at, but when a young man was going to become a shepherd, he would go away out. Apparently it would be his responsibility. And he would go out into the forest or the wood and find the kind of little sapling tree that he was instructed to look for. And whenever he found that sapling tree, he would be very careful to dig it up with the root and all intact. And then he would trim it. And he would leave a lump on the end of the sapling there, approximately the size of a man's fist. He would trim it. And then he would drive metal or flint into that lump that was in the end of the sapling. It was to become his club. So you had, let's say, this length of a stick, and you had this lump on the end of it with the flint or the metal driven into it, and this was his rod or his club. And there are various benefits that came from him having the club. First of all, it was necessary for protection. I already mentioned here the sheep would appreciate the like of this in the Valley of the Shadow and in many other places as well. The shepherd, you know about the David himself, how he killed a lion and a bear, and the bravery that he must have had to take them on, but to kill them when they come to harm his flocks. And he was there, so he had to learn. And apparently, again, I haven't been in the East, I don't know. Shepherds, many of them, learned how to take this club, to take it by the stick and to throw it with tremendous accuracy and to throw it at a beast that may have been coming to harm them or to harm the animals that they were looking after. So the club here, or the rod, was useful for protection. And Christian, you and I need protection. Because the devil will come along, and you see if you can identify with any of these now. He will come along, just as the predatory animal would come along to steal the sheep, he will come along to steal your joy away. Maybe he's done that today. He will come away to steal your usefulness, and he seems to be doing remarkably well at that. He will come along to steal your holiness, and he will come along to steal your belief in what the Word of God says. So it's important for you and I to have this protection from the Lord. If you look at a few psalms over there, the psalm number 28, again, the psalmist here is referring to the Lord doing everything for him that the rod would do. It says in verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. "Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever." Well, let's just take a wee look there at verses 8 and 9 quickly. We're looking here at the Lord protecting his people. That's what the psalmist says in verse 7 of Psalm 28, that the Lord has been doing. But did you notice there at the end of verse 8 it says, "He is the saving strength." It actually in the original says, "the strength of salvations." And you know that salvation in the Bible very often refers to our salvation, being saved, but it refers to the culmination of God's great work when he will come again to bring his people to be with himself. And it also refers various times to different types of deliverance. You may have heard even in the world people saying, "Oh, their only salvation was whatever it happened to be." Well, that's what he's saying here. And he is the saving strength, or the strength of salvations of his anointed. And it says there in verse 9, "feed them also." It means rule them. So now he is the shepherd. Just as the shepherd is in control of the sheep. He's here, he's ruling his people, and he's the strength of their salvations. He's been the strength of our salvations before in a whole lot of ways. And he will be again. So it's so important to have these thoughts on the rod. The thought of protection, but also the thought of making a way. Apparently, again, this rod was used as an instrument for clearance. Sometimes the shepherd would have to go through briars and thorns and rough ways, and he would have to beat a pathway through there. Remember that in the East, the shepherd, they didn't drive the sheep, they led them. And he had to go first. And Christian, wherever you and I go in life, and whatever mountaintops we go up, or whatever valleys we go down into, the shepherd has been there first, making a path, clearing the thorns and the briars. Sometimes we don't feel that. But remember what we said at the start, "Thou art with me, whether you feel it or not." And when you feel that you're alone sometimes, he will never send a Christian where he will not make a pathway there for them, where he has not gone before. Be good in our prayer time tonight to remember the Foster family over in Uganda. Andrew Foster and his wife Hannah and their little girl, they left here a wee while ago, went to the Netherlands, to her homeland, for a wee while, and then over to Uganda. But they've all taken ill, I think. And there was, I was hearing from Robert here on Sunday that Andrew had malaria, did you say, Robert? Did you hear anything about typhoid?
Yeah,
No. Heard that yesterday. Yeah, so you can imagine, thank you. You can imagine that. They've been here, they've got their wee baby now, and they're away over there to Uganda. Noreen's home at the present time, and they're all sick. And there's nobody else there. Isn't it very important for Andrew Foster as he just sits and thinks for a moment? Isn't it good for him to know that the Lord has been there first? And the Lord would not send him there if he wasn't making a pathway for them. I'm sure they're frustrated. And Hannah away from the Netherlands and living here and then over in Uganda and now over there with her wee girl and they're sick and typhoid's not very pleasant. And so it'd be good to pray for them, but it's more important tonight for them to know that the Lord has made a pathway and the Lord would go before them as their shepherd. There's a protection with the rod, the clearing of a way, but then there's a thought of power. And the rod in the Bible is a symbol of power. In fact, the word rod here means scepter to rule. And it symbolizes power and authority. And if you go back to the experience of Moses, you will discover that it was the authority and power, a symbol of the power, stood for the power and authority of God, actually for what God said. Maybe we'll take a moment and do that. If you could turn, please, to the book of Exodus. We're still looking here at the rod, which offers protection and path clearing and is symbolic of power. In Exodus chapter 4, and the Lord is speaking to Moses, says in verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. Now look at verse 17. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. If you go to verse 20, please. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God. He's referring to it now as the rod of God in his hand. And you might wonder, well, why did he do all that? Well, remember that the rod means scepter to rule. Or it's referring to the power in what God says. So we're going to see, first of all, that what God says is able to deal with that which is evil. May I turn to chapter 10 in Exodus, please? Just a couple of references here. Exodus 10, verse 13. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt. And the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And we know from verse 14 and so on that the locusts went over all of the land. He was working under God's instruction. The Pharaoh was a wicked man. And the Lord was using Moses and using the instrument that he had in his hand, the rod. He was using that to begin to deal with the evil. God's word is the answer to evil. There's no question about it. The preaching of his word and the standing upon his word. But if you look there in verse 14, chapter 14, again in the book of Exodus, please. Chapter 14 and verse 16. You will see here that God's word does indeed, as we mentioned about the rod, make a way. They're now at the Red Sea. And the Lord is speaking to Moses, verse 16, but lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. In a possible situation, right now some Christians are feeling quite hopeless. Impossible situations. And maybe in some way, there's someone listening on this, or maybe someone here that I don't know about. And you're feeling that there's not really a very clear way ahead and you need the Lord to make a way, and you can do it through his word. He can make a way, and he's promised to make a way for us. And we sing sometimes a wee chorus, I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, spurn the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. God's word can deal with evil. God's word can make a way. But God's word refreshes you and me. Please look at chapter 17. Chapter 17 and verse 6. Moses is told in verse 5, and thy rod, if to take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. There's the rod again, bringing the refreshment that Israel needed. And every one of us, every single day, need the refreshment that comes from God's word. There's nothing else we'll do. We must have it. And we're glad that we have it in our own mother tongue. It can also, God's word also can bring victory. If you look in verse 9, verse 8 and 9 of chapter 17 in Exodus, then came Amalek and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And you and I, as believers, we need to see evil dealt with. We need the Lord to make a way for us. We need constant refreshing of our heart, and we need victory. And God's word is the answer to that. His word has power. It is like a scepter to rule. And I trust tonight, as you and I remember these things, the rod, protection, path clearing, and power, that we will remember that while the devil is busy and will capitalize on every single weakness that we have, that you and I have the Lord illustrated for us here again as we look at the rod. But I'd like you to notice, secondly, please, notice the staff. The staff here that you read of in Psalm 23. It is also a little sapling, only it's longer. And again, he was to get this sapling, but not keep a lump on the end of it. He was to bend it while it was still pliable and make a hooked end on it so that his staff would have a hook on the end of it. Now, the word staff here refers to something that supports. And surely that reminds us of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Being able to rest upon him. And if we want to see some comparisons here between the staff that the shepherd would have, the young shepherd would have on the Holy Spirit, well, the shepherd, when he would go out with his staff, as I said, it was a longer one with a hook on the end of it, a longer sapling. He would be able to go to a sheep. Sheep sometimes scattered easily, and they got into hanlons where they shouldn't have been, and sometimes he had to put it around their neck and pull them closer to himself. Sometimes the Lord has to do that with me and with you and draw us closer to himself, and it's always for our good. And the word and the spirit always work together. So when you think of the rod and the word, and you think of the staff and the spirit, we're really on good ground then. He used the staff to draw the sheep closer to himself, but he would also use the staff to actually free the sheep from entanglements. Did you ever see a sheep all tangled up? I did. With about a dozen different briars all wrapped around it, and its ears and underneath it, and it didn't know where it was going. It was lying on its side and exhausted and getting worse. And when a sheep gets onto its back, it gets cold. And what an illustration for us. If we get into entanglements and we get worse and worse and we become exhausted and then we become cold at heart. And then the Lord so often has come along with his staff and as he just pulled us closer to himself again and drawn us closer to himself and give us blessing in our souls again. It's very doubtful if there's any other instrument that is more representative of the shepherd than the staff. because the shepherd was to the sheep with the staff in his hand what the Holy Spirit is to us and what the Holy Spirit does for us, because he represents Christ to you. The staff, you see, was that which was actually touching the sheep, but it really was from the shepherd. And he would put the staff out. The staff then made the shepherd real to the sheep. And that's what the Holy Spirit does with Christ for you and I. The Bible says that Christ said, he shall lead you into all truth. Lead you into all truth. There's one other thought here regarding this staff. Not only was it used to draw the sheep closer to himself or to free them from entanglements, but also to protect them from themselves. Sheep are not the wisest. Jumpy, and sometimes they do really stupid things. And it's so easily led. I think I said before, if you see them jump running down a hill and one jumps for no reason, all the ones behind, they jump at the same place. Even though there's nothing to jump over, they jump anyway. They do worse things than that. You need to protect them from themselves. If I can turn you, please, to the book of Romans, and with this we're done. It's Romans chapter 8, please. Because we need protection from ourselves too. And Paul, who was a spiritual giant, you might say, he knew all about this. In Romans chapter 8, writing to the church there in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. But you look at chapter 7, and I would like you to, if you don't mind, just read it in your own time, and you will see that chapter 7 is about Christians like you and I struggling. It's about struggling, about everyday struggle, about combat. If you look there in verse 19, he says, for the good that I would, I do not. Now, we find it hard to believe that, because he seemed to do a lot of good, but he knew. He knew what was going on in that heart of his. He says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. I don't know what you thought. You don't know what I've thought. What I've thought may not be good at all. But Paul here is being honest about Christian struggle and about the combat that he was constantly in. Verse 24 of chapter 7, O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? And among other things, referring to, certainly referring to the struggle as well as other things. But he's, whenever we come to chapter 8, he's showing here that victory for us is through the Holy Spirit in our struggle. And again, we're thinking of the staff. How the Lord comes along when you and I might be struggling with wrong thoughts or maybe a habit that is wrong, and he gets us on the victory ground. How does he do it? Well, think of the psalmist where he said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And how do we hide God's word in our heart? His Holy Spirit impresses its truth upon our heart. And therefore we need, he's given us the opportunity through his word and through fellowship and through prayer to maintain a close relationship with the shepherd. I trust you'll be encouraged tonight as you think of the shepherd, of the staff and the rod. We'll get down to prayer.